In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints of God, throughout this season of Lent, we focused our attention on those spiritual blessings as gift that God gives us in physical, tangible ways. We looked at the gift of God's Word, the gift of holy baptism, the gift of holy absolution, and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Tonight, we talk about the last of these spiritual gifts, and that is the communion of saints. Now, one thing to clarify, when we put the communion of saints in the category of all those other four, we don't want to be misunderstood to say that the communion of saints is a sacrament or a means of grace or anything like that. That's not what we're asserting here. But the communion of saints is the place where those sacraments are received, where they are distributed to believers for what Christ has won on the cross is given to us here. And what we'll see tonight is that the communion of saints is more than just a gathering of a particular congregation, but includes that physical congregation with those saints who now rest from their labors. This gathering is where heaven and earth collide, because it is precisely where God's word is and where his sacraments are found. That is a spiritual gift found in a physical place. We've been in the midst of this corona pandemic for weeks now, and it looks to be several weeks ahead of us still yet. This national emergency has maybe reminded us of the great blessing we have in gathering together as a church. Most, and by most, I mean the vast majority of churches in our country and throughout the entire world cannot meet right now. That churches are unable to hold weddings and funerals or even meet for worship. And even in our own congregation, even though we have the numbers and the facility to continue to meet together, and we're thankful for this, we still really, really miss those who need to stay home at this time. This is no different than most of the gifts that we have, that we don't realize the blessings that we have until we don't have them. It is my prayer that we never, ever take for granted having a church where we can go to receive the Lord's mercy with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But still, there are those who find no need for the church. Some say that church is just an institution, that this is something between me and God, and I don't need the church. I have my Bible. I can talk to God whenever I want. I can worship him wherever I am. The church is really just a man-made organization created to manipulate and control people, they say. Well, we should be fair. There have been times throughout history that the church has been used to manipulate and control people, and sometimes even by use of the sword. But sometimes the abuse of something shows the necessity of that thing. Kind of like how we see how important the institution of fatherhood is when we see fathers neglect or even abuse their office. To say that the church is an organization is simply to say that it exists in this world. This is not necessary by divine right, but that we can enjoy certain freedoms of our country. It's not necessary for us to have a president, a vice president, a treasurer, and a secretary in order for us to receive the Lord's gifts. But that we can enjoy certain tax benefits and be a little organized to pay bills and get things done, we have formed as an organization, not by divine necessity, but as an organizational necessity. But this is something different to say that the church is an institution. To say that the church is an institution is simply to say it is instituted. As if something instituted is then put there by someone, And this is actually true of the church. It means someone put us here for a reason, to serve a purpose. Societies have instituted hospitals as a place for sick people and to save lives. God has instituted marriage as a proper place for intimacy and support of husbands and wives and the procreation of children. So then to say that the church is an institution is to say that Christ has put us here for the reason of sinners having a place to receive the forgiveness of their sins. That this is the place that Christ has put himself as gift in a tangible way. This is something offered in this place that is not offered to you anywhere else. Though God is present everywhere, he doesn't promise himself for the forgiveness of sins on the hiking trail or in the fishing boat or under your covers in bed. Christ instituted this place as a place unique to receive something that you can't receive elsewhere. Now, this doesn't mean that no one has ever received God's gifts anywhere else. That may be hearing God's word or being baptized somewhere else. But just as we wouldn't assert that no one has ever received medical attention other than the hospital, it is still the case that even though there are people who know CPR and first aid, if you're having a heart attack, you still rush to the hospital. Because that is the place that has been established to care for people who are having medical emergencies. Well, the church, that gathering of believers around word and sacrament, wherever that might be, is the place that God has established for you to receive the forgiveness that Christ won for you on the cross nearly 2,000 years ago. When we talk about the church, we oftentimes talk about the visible church and the invisible church. Now, both are blessings. The visible church is that church that gathers here or other places to worship, to receive his word and his sacraments. And again, this is a blessing. Imagine for just a moment that our restrictions become so strict that church services can only be held individually. That you'd come to church and it's just you and pastor for the divine service. Now, practically, what you'd be doing would be exactly the same as any other service. You would listen to readings of scripture and you'd listen to a sermon just as you're listening to now, but you're not here with the rest of the congregation, it's just you. You'd still confess your sins. You'd confess the creed. You would sing hymns and you would say the Lord's Prayer. But imagine this wasn't just for a pandemic. Imagine it was always like this, that it's just you and pastor for divine service. The activity of the divine service would be exactly the same. But doing it by yourself, with no one else with you, would seem empty and lonely. Because what goes on here is about receiving the Lord's gifts, but it's about receiving the Lord's gifts as a matter of fellowship with fellow believers. It's a blessing to join with others of like confession who confess together as Christ's body, that we are all together made as one, that we are one in the doctrine we confess and one in the gifts that we receive. So oftentimes we throw around the word fellowship to mean anything Christians do together. So if we're going to have fellowship, it means we're going to have cheese and crackers. Or if we're going to the bowling alley for some Christian fellowship, it means we're just going to have fun together. But biblically, this word from the Greek, koinonia, is used to describe fellowship that is centered around communing together. Acts 2:42 says, they were continually devoting themselves in the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. That fellowship was founded upon the fact that they all believe the same thing, that they all confess the same thing, the apostles' teaching, and that they commune together as a declaration of unity. And we come together and we pray together. And we weep for those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. The visible church is not perfect. We sin against one another. We may even fight or have disagreements or argue. But love covers a multitude of sins. And where there is sin, there is an opportunity to repent and an opportunity to forgive. That's what we do here. That's what goes on here. That's what this place is for. Just as the church is visible, it is also invisible. Many of you know the distinction between the church militant and the church triumphant. But this is a little different than that. It's not the same thing. The church militant, it is believers on earth that are still in the fight. And the church triumphant are the believers who are already in heaven, who now rest from their labors. Now, just imagine that for a moment. Those believers that we heard about read in Hebrews chapter 11, all the early Christian martyrs who that text says were sawn in two, all your believing ancestors, your closest family and friends who died in the faith, they are all members of the church triumphant. And the scriptures tell us that they are now gathered around the Lamb who has been slain. That is, they are in the very presence of Christ who has been sacrificed for them. And the scriptures teach us that they pray for us, that they cry out to God and ask, "How long, O Lord?" They're wearing the robes of Christ's righteousness given to them in their baptisms, and they sing the praises of him who delivered them out of this veil of tears, out of this valley of the shadow of death. That is the church triumphant. But that's not the same thing as the invisible church. The invisible church is all believers in Christ. And that includes us here. It includes all of the church triumphant, but it also includes those on earth who possess saving faith. It includes those who have faith who would want to be here and can't. It would include those who are normally shut in because of health reasons. It would include those who are now shut in because of a public health emergency. And it includes those who have heard the gospel and believe, but have not yet made it to a baptismal font such as this. It includes those, for reasons of persecution or whatever reason, can't come to the Lord's house to receive his gifts. That is the communion of saints. It's all of God's people, both in heaven and on earth, and they are in communion with one another because they are all the body of Christ by faith and his promises. Whether they are present here or not, they are with the Lord, singing his praises and rejoicing in his gifts. It is the coming together of God's heavenly blessings that are unseen in a place that is yet visible and tangible, whether here on earth or in heaven. Wherever God places himself for his believers to behold him, that is the communion of saints. And no matter where it is heaven, even if heaven on earth. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.